Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Psalm 30. Psalm 30 happens at a very interesting point in David's life. It's actually happens just a few years after David, the shepherd of sheep, becomes David, the shepherd of the children of Israel. It happens in 2 Samuel. We're going to take a look at kind of the background of this in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2 and 3. We're going to take a look at that. It says this. Also in time past when Saul, this is the people of Israel asking David to become their king. Also in time past when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed or shepherd my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. Now David is no longer the shepherd of sheep. He is the shepherd of the children of Israel. And so David is beginning his role of caring for Israel as their king. And he starts out by reigning in Hebron for 7 years. And while he's there, after he's been there for a little bit, he comes to the city of the stronghold of Zion. And it's about 30 kilometers away from Hebron where he was at. And he overtook it. He captured the stronghold of Zion and he called it his home. He called it the city of David. And this is what we know as Jerusalem now. And after he captured the stronghold of Zion, naming it the City of David, that is where he settled in and the place from which he reigned, the nation of Israel. Sometime later, throughout that time period, we don't know exactly how long, but sometime during that period, after that period, there was a king by the name of Hiram, who was the king of the city of Tyre, which is along the Mediterranean coast, quite a bit of a distance away. But this king, Hiram, was very friendly with David and, of course, his son, Solomon. And King Hiram gave David a gift. He gave him the supplies, the material, and the workers to make an amazing palace for him. And we see this in verse 11 and 12 of 2 Samuel. It says this. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David an house. Verse 12 says this, and David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. This may have been right around the time when David wrote Psalm 30, as David is praising God in this aspect of his house being built. If you look at the introduction of Psalm 30, it says this, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. And this may be one of the aspects of David glorifying God in this time, people, in this time period. For David, it was a time when things were going well. Things were going good for David. Even here, though, this is the amazing thing, is even after David's house was built, he understood himself, he understood and he saw clearly that it was God, not him, that had established him as king over Israel. It was God, not David, that had exalted David's kingdom. And it wasn't for David's sake, but for the children of Israel's sake, that God had appointed David as the shepherd of his people. And so in this psalm, David is humbly declaring God's care for him by rescuing him or lifting him up out of two different kinds of situations that he had gone through in his journey to this point. This is what we're going to see today. The first situation that we see David being lifted up, being rescued by God, starts in the time when David was in life-threatening situations. Man, I tell you what, David's journey to the throne was a tough one. You know what I mean? I mean, it was rough. David went through all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of life-threatening situations. I'm sure he faced sickness, he faced injury, he faced certain doom. There were so many ways in which God pulled him out of the depths of oncoming death and rescued him. And David is remembering those times and being reminded of those things. And he declares God's faithfulness to him in rescuing him, in pulling him out of those situations. Look with me. Psalm 30, verse 1 says this. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Verse 3 says this, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. David is saying, God, you have lifted me up. You have rescued me. In my times of distress, in my times of weakness, you were the one who rescued me. There were so many times when I was a person who was stuck in a pit. There was no way out. In the depths of certain death. And you rescued me. You were the one who came in, dropped the lifeline, dropped a rope down to me when it seemed that there was no hope. You were the one who gave me the rope of rescue. My enemies thought I was done for, and in my distress, I cried out to you. And God, you heard my cry, and you came to my rescue. That's exactly what David was feeling. As David is writing this psalm, he's probably looking back over those last years as David has been being rescued time and time again, not only from his attacks from his enemies, but also in times of sickness and injury. It was God who had kept him alive all these years. He was the one who had often pulled David out of imminent death time and time again. And so because he is here where he is, he knows and he looks back and he sees the faithfulness of God in rescuing him from these situations. And we've looked through these over in the past, in the different Psalms, of how God rescued him. And if you read through 1 Samuel and you see the things that David had gone through, you know that God had rescued him. That's the first part. When David is in times of distress because of his enemies, he sees that God is the one on whom he can rely on whom he can trust on in all of these situations. God is the one who lowers the rope of rescue, and he says, I've got you. And this is true for us, is it not? Isn't he the one who comes to us and gives us the rope? Sometimes it's through fellow believers. Sometimes it's through different situations. But God gives us the rope of rescue. At this point, though, David pauses for a little bit and focuses on another aspect of God's rescue in his life. Not just from the times of distress, times where his enemies were encompassing him about, times where he was feeling the hopelessness of being attacked, of being pursued. Now he switches direction a little bit and thinks back on times where he needed a different kind of rescue from God. And God was faithful in giving this kind of rescue to him as well. Look at verse 4 for a second. Because the second situation that God rescues us from is from holes that are made by himself. Verse 4 says this, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. David says to those around him, sing with me, give thanks at the remembrance of his what? His holiness, which is an interesting context, especially in the light of his rescuing David from these situations. What does his holiness have to do with God's rescue? The question we might ask is, why do we give thanks for the fact that God is holy? Because just as his faithfulness pulls us out of things that may harm us, in his holiness, he also pulls us out of ways in which we spiritually harm ourselves. And this is what David is referring to in the next verse. Verse 5 says this, for his anger endureth but for a moment, and in his favor is life, long-lasting life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. See, David is saying these words in the context of somebody who is in, who has seen the rescue of God, not just in distress, but also in times where he has dug his own pit. Even in times when God is correcting us, when we repent, his correction is brief and momentary. Think about this. Sometimes when we mess up, sometimes when we let go of God's goodness, and we stumble in our own direction, God's correction is there for us. And when we sense his correction, we know that his anger is but for a moment when we repent. This is what David is talking about. Sometimes when we're under God's correction, it does feel like night. It is those times when we desperately see how much we need him to pull us out of our own sinfulness. And the weeping of repentance is part of this pulling us up. David reminds us that repentance, the weeping of repentance, is an act of God help pulling us up. David also reminds us that after his correction, the sweet dawn of forgiveness and restoration comes quickly as he pulls us out of the darkness of night. David shares us a time and when he experienced this. He's looking back and, you know, he's singing a song to the children of Israel in this momentous occasion where his house is built and he's dedicating the house to God, and he's kind of reflecting back in his life and says, man, God, just this journey to this point has been amazing. You saved me from so many times when my enemy was trying to overtake me. But then kind of like, as I'm sure he's thinking back, but man, you saved me a lot of times when my pride totally got myself into a lot of horrible situations, and your correction of my heart was so needful and so helpful. Verse 6, and in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Verse 7, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. This is an interesting thing to think about, right? First, David says, in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Sometime during that time of God's favor in his life, pride started creeping into David's heart. He started to turn away from God a little bit. He let go of his confidence in God and started putting the confidence, his confidence, in himself. Don't we do that? Sometimes it's like the aspect of things not changing. Sometimes you go through life and like when you're in the pit of despair, it seems like you're going to be in the pit of despair forever. It's hard to see how your situation is going to change until the rope of rescue comes, right? But sometimes when you're standing on a strong mountain and you see yourself like, oh man, this is great in your prosperity, in the time where God blesses you, you seem to think it's easy for us to think the same way. This is great. I can't see my situation changing. And so in that moment, David probably felt that too. In the pit, we hold on tightly to the rope, but in prosperity, in our pride, we tend to let go. Thanks for the rope, God. Man, that was so helpful. I'm glad you pulled me out of the pit, but I got it from here. Thanks a lot. And in those moments, we turn our faith away from God and into ourselves. We turn our face away from God and put our faith in our own selves. And we turn away from him, forgetting that it is God who is the one who makes the mountain strong for us to stand on. It is only because of God's goodness and God's faithfulness that he lets us stand on a strong mountain, because he's the one who makes the mountain strong. And yet we turn our back. We turn our face away from him and start walking along the crumbling cliff of our own self-confidence. And before we know it, what happens? The cliff crumbles. We fall. This time, we fall into a pit not made by our enemies, but of our own doing, of our own pride, and our own foolishness. And in those times, when he graciously hides his face from us to reveal to us how desperately we really do need him, both in times in the pit and in times of the mountain, and help us to see once again how badly we need him. And as quickly as we let go of the rope, we quickly realize how badly we need to hold on to him. And yet again, as David had done, so also do we cry for help. Verse 8, I cry unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Verse 9, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Help me, God. Because his anger is momentary, because his anger is brief, the night is short-lived, and the joy of the morning comes. He is quick to rescue us, not only from our enemies, but also from ourselves. Praise God for that. Isn't that amazing to think about? Quick to bring his rope of rescue into our lives. Man, I tell you what, think about that. Stop and think about how merciful and gracious God is to you and to me. We do this so often. We do this so many times. And yet every time God is quick, when we fall into our pit, when we mess up, when we get prideful, we get selfish in our own life, as often as we do it, when God turns his face away from us to reveal to us how desperately we need him, and when we see that and we repent of our pride, we repent of our self-centeredness, God quickly drops the rope to restore us back to his goodness. This is the goodness of God. 1 John 1:9 tells us this, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's the interesting thing. This is one of the reasons David proclaimed the holiness of God in this context. Not just his faithfulness in bringing us out, and his faithfulness in sending down the rope as often as we mess up, as often as we cry to him for help, he is faithful and just to give us the rope, but also in his holiness, because it is his holiness that cleanses us. Verse 11 says this of Psalm 30, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. This is faithfulness and holiness working together. In God's faithfulness, my midnight mourning turns to dawn's dancing. In his holiness, he takes away the sackcloth of my sorrow and he gives me a new set of clothes, the clothing of gladness, as one who is cleansed and forgiven. This is God's faithfulness and holiness working together to restore us, to rescue us. Verse 12 says this, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. God, you have put me back on the strong mountain and have lifted me up, and I will sing praise to you. Here I am. The ways that you have blessed me all along my life, in those times where I was in distress from my enemies and in the times where I was in distress from my own selfishness and pride, you have rescued me time and time again. And now I stand here as a testimony of your goodness and glory, and I will not be silent. This is David singing this. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. This is the goodness of our rescuer, not only in lifting us up out of life's difficulties, but also in his digging us up, lifting us up from the pits that we dig in our own pride and foolishness. As we close, look at Psalm 40 with me real quick. Psalm 40 is David basically repeating these same thoughts are coming to David yet again. And listen to how David sings this and sing these praises to your Father for the ways in which he has rescued you. I waited patiently for the Lord. and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. You see, this is the aspect of God's faithfulness and holiness working together consistently over and over and over in our lives, so that those around us see that it is God's goodness that rescues us. It is God's faithfulness who will never let us be cast into the pit and stay there. So when we cast our eyes on him, when we cast our hope in him, the rope of rescue consistently comes to us. When we get to the point where we're comfortable in our prosperity, in the times where God has pulled us out and has put our feet on a rock, in those times we get comfortable and turn our own face away from God's faithfulness and into our own self-confidence, and we walk away from him, even in those moments when we slip and fall into the pit, God in his goodness reminds us of our need for him and then gently casts his rope of rescue to us again, so that as we cry out to him in this time, the pit of our own making, he still is faithful and just in rescuing us, in forgiving us, and cleansing us from our unrighteousness through our repentance in him. Boy, God is good. God is so faithful, and his holiness is so needed. So as you hear these words, let me ask you a quick question. Are you starting to turn your face away from God, starting to walk along the crumbling cliff of self-confidence? Are things going good right now? If they are, praise God for it. It is only because of God that makes your, it is only because God is the one who makes your mountain strong that you are able to stand. Don't forget that. In your times of prosperity, in your times of blessing, don't turn your face away from the man, from the one who makes your mountain strong. Don't let go of the rope just because your feet are standing on something firm. Recognize that it is God who makes that mountain strong that you are getting to stand on. If you are turning away, if you are looking back into your own self-confidence, hey, I'm good. Thank you, God. Appreciate the rope. You rescued me. I got it from here. Thank you. Don't do that. Keep your eyes on your Father. Like David, will you cling to the faithfulness of God in rescuing you? Maybe you're in a pit. You're in a pit of mourning. You're in a pit of sorrow. It may be because of an enemy. It may be because of a difficult situation. It may be because of your own doing. But regardless of why you are in a pit, remember this. You may be in the darkness of night, but joy will come. Repent, cast your eyes on your rescuer, and be patient in waiting for him. He is on his way. He has heard your cry. The dawn of rescue is coming, so don't give up hope. Know that joy, the dawn of joy, is coming soon. Cast your faith in him as he lowers his rope of rescue to you. So regardless of where you're at, if you're in a pit of despair or if you're on a strong mountain, recognize that Jesus, our Savior, has given us the rope of salvation. If you have not trusted in Jesus, know the rope of salvation is available to you. He has lowered and says, listen, you need me and I'm here. I've given you the rope of rescue through dying on the cross for your sins. And in faith, just like everyone else, in faith, put your trust in Jesus, and he will rescue you. He will pull you out. Fellow believer, as those who walk on the journey of life, as we walk in following Jesus, there are times often that we turn our eyes away from him and slip and fall into our own selfish desires, our own selfishness, and our own pride. When that happens, when you fall, repent. Don't let the midnight mourning last longer than it needs to because of your stubbornness. Repent. Ask him for forgiveness. And he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. And in so doing, restore our relationship with our shepherd. So think about that this week. Think about the aspect of David in the time of his blessing, looking back and over seeing the rescue of God in his life. Remember that as you live through your life. Yes, there will be times when you fall. When those times happen, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and find your rescue in him. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, very much for reminding of this through the words of David. Father, in your life, you have worked over and over in David's life, and we've seen that through his words today. Let it be a reminder to us that the singing of praise that David did be reminding us of the awe and the glory of who you are. And let us, in response to the words of David, sing praise to you and be thankful for you, for the ways in which you care for us, and for the ways in which you are faithful in throwing the rope down to us in our time of need, and your holiness rescuing us from our own sinfulness. Thank you so much for the ways in which you have blessed us in our journey, and the ways in which you will continue to bless us as we live our lives here following you. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.